We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll find our text for this morning in verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Particularly these words at the end of the verse, death is swallowed up in victory. Now in our society today, death is one of these taboo subjects. People don't like to talk about it. When it comes to death, undertakers look after the body, wash it, dress it, prepare it for burial. Beautiful flowers cover the coffin, making it look pretty. Funeral services have largely become celebrations rather than mourning. But whether we like it or not, death is one huge reality. As Benjamin Franklin said, nothing is more certain than death and taxes. We all have to face death. For those who make this world their heaven, death is painful. If we are looking for wealth, success, reputation, worldly pleasures, and set our hearts upon these things, then, sadly, when death comes, we've lost everything. But for the Christian, death is swallowed up in victory. And we look at death in the light of what comes after. And to depart and to be with Christ is far better. We are to prepare, and we are basically given our life in this world, whether it be 10 years, or 30 years, or 60 years, or 100 years. We're given our life in this world in order to prepare for death. And for the Christian, death is like their marriage day. It's the best day of their life because they are departing to be with Christ forever. Well, let's look first of all at the origin of death. Where did death come from? When did death first appear? Why is there death in this world? These are important questions. Because God is the creator. At one time there was only God, and there was no universe. There was no world, and there were no people. And then God created this universe, the heavens and the earth. And when God created the universe, it was full of life. The heavens were full of angels, spirits that live forever. Earth, sea, and air were full of creatures. Creatures full of life. And then God created our first parents, Adam and Eve. And they were created to live forever. And they could have gone on living forever. They were placed in a paradise, a beautiful garden. And in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. And they could eat of the tree of life and live forever. But you remember what happened. First, a problem appeared in heaven. One of the most powerful angels in heaven, Satan, rebelled against God. And having rebelled against God, he came to this world to try and get man to side with him in his rebellion. He came into the garden, came in a serpent, in a snake. And he said to the woman, "Has God said you shall not eat of all the trees that are in the garden? You shall not surely die if you eat this tree, the forbidden fruit. God is keeping something good from you. If you eat of this fruit, then you'll be like God himself, knowing good and evil." And Eve ate of the fruit, and then she gave to Adam, and he also ate. And so our first parents discovered that Satan was a liar and the father of lies. They sinned against God and they fell. Immediately they ate the forbidden fruit, they discovered something. They felt naked. They felt vulnerable. They felt in danger. When God came into the garden, they hid themselves. Because the moment they ate the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually. Their relationship with God was broken. Death means separation. And the moment Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, he died. Died to God. Became dead in his sins. And God came into the garden and pronounced upon him the curse. Dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. Physical death began to work. The aging process started at that point. They were cast out of the garden. And after a period of time, they died. And if they had not been converted, if they were not born again, they would have gone to eternal death in hell. Death is threefold: spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. In the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Died spiritually, physical death began, and eternal death awaited them. But death didn't just affect our first parents. It affected the whole world. Birds, beasts, insects, fish, everything. The whole creation is subject to death. Everywhere you look, death. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, waiting for the day of redemption, waiting for the day when the children of God will be revealed, waiting for the day of the regeneration and the recreation and the new heavens and the new earth, waiting for the day of eternal life at the end of the world. But today, death reigns supreme. And you and I are born into this world dying. People sometimes are very upset when they go to the doctor and the doctor tells them that they're terminally ill. They've only got maybe so many years or so many months to live. But we're all terminally ill. Every one of us is under a death sentence. We're all dying. And it might be the fittest, freshest, youngest person here who will be gone first.
How is it that people seem so blind to this fact that we're terminally ill? We've got a disease within us. We're dying. And God provides us with a gospel, with a Savior, with a way to heaven and to eternal life. Some die in the womb. Some die as little babies, children. Some die as young people. Some die as middle-aged people. Some as old people. Some live to a ripe old age, but everyone dies. And nobody can be sure that they're going to live another year or even another day. Maybe today is your last. You don't know, and neither do I. The origin of death then. Death came because of man. Man's sin. And all the sickness and the pain and the suffering that is in this world, it's not because God is bad. And it's not because the devil is bad. It's because man is bad. Pain comes as a result of sin. It is the sentence of God upon our sin and disobedience. So the origin of death. Secondly, I want us to look at the death of the unconverted. Those who are not saved, not born again. The death of the unconverted is awful. It might not be a painful death. In fact, it can sometimes be a very easy death. The psalmist in Psalm 73 was envying the wicked because to him it seemed that the wicked people, they were getting rich, they were prosperous, and even when it came to death, their bands were free. They didn't seem to have any suffering, they didn't seem to have any pain in their death. Well, that's sometimes the case. The death of the wicked, as far as this world is concerned, might not be painful. Jesus tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember Lazarus, the beggar who trusted in God. And then the time came when he died. And the angels came and carried his soul to Abraham's bosom. He went to heaven. But you remember then the rich man who fared sumptuously every day. Always banqueting, clothed in purple and scarlet and fine linen. He had such a wonderful life. Lots of pleasures. And the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he did lift up his eyes, being in torment. He died. He had a wonderful funeral. Great celebration. And then he opened his eyes in hell. I saw the wicked, great in power, spread like a green bay tree. He passed, yea, was not. Him I sought, but found he could not be. The wicked, prospering, successful, wealthy, healthy, proud, achieving so much, admired by so many, like a great tree. But one day the tree was cut down. And what then? Hell. Bible tells us how wicked the world had become in ancient times in the days of Noah. And how Noah built this ark. And the day came when Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives entered into the ark. And the people around them, you can imagine them laughing at them, mocking them, ridiculing them. But then it began to rain. And then the storms came such as they'd never seen before. and the fountains of the great deep were opened up, and the great tsunami waves began to roll in. The seas rose, the continents fell, and the flood covered the whole world. And then men and women hammering on the door of the ark, but it was too late. God had shut it, and no one could get in. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam. Again, how quickly the fire and brimstone from heaven came and destroyed their cities. The wicked. Maybe they go into a hospital, and from there they go to a hospice, and maybe we're very thankful for the work of hospices and the way that they're able to control pain. And maybe they have quite an easy end, and they sleep away, so it seems. But what about the other side of death? The soul leaves the body and goes immediately, either to heaven or to hell. And if it goes to hell, it goes to a place of torment forever. You think of those suicide bombers who have been told by their imams, by their holy men, so called, that if they kill so many infidels through their suicide bomb, that they will go from this world into a paradise, having 70 virgins to please them forevermore. And so they, poor, deceived, misled souls, they blast themselves into eternity, to open their eyes, not on the soft bosom of a virgin, but in the flames of eternal torment. How tragic. And how many there are who have been deceived by that false religion. Opening their eyes in hell. Death in itself need not frighten you. There are many helps to get us through death. Many drugs to help. Much medicine and medical care that can relieve the symptoms. Death doesn't worry us really. It shouldn't. But what comes after, that's the problem. The death of those without Christ, without God and without hope. The death of the sinner whose sins have never been pardoned. The death of the unconverted. You must be born again, Jesus said. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. He shall not enter into the kingdom. Unless you're born again, you're excluded from the kingdom. So the death of the unconverted. It's an awful death. A helpless, hopeless, miserable. Departing from this world to a lost eternity. To the blackness of darkness forever. Are you converted? Have you got Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him? Do you have one who will receive you on the other side of death? Or are you still without Christ? Thirdly, I want us to look at the death of Christ. Now, the death of Christ was the most awful death that any man ever endured. The worst ever. Why? because there was crucifixion. No. Others had suffered crucifixion too. And some early Christian martyrs, they seemed to be joyful in their crucifixion. They seemed to triumph in it. Hung on crosses, singing the praises of God. Why was Christ's death the most awful death ever? It was the most awful death because he died a cursed death. But then, every sinner who dies a cursed death. But the difference was that Christ was suffering for our sins. And in his suffering of death, he was suffering our hell before he died. Before he died. The wicked, there might be some sufferings in their death, but hell comes after death. Christ, hell came before death. He took our place. He took our sins. And he came under the wrath and curse of God. The wrath of Almighty God. Death had no claim upon him. Because he had never sinned, he would never naturally die. He died only because he voluntarily chose to die. And he gave himself over to death. He died taking his people's sins upon himself. And he suffered the judicial wrath of God, punished for us. He had the physical pains of a very painful death. Crucifixion was an extremely slow and painful death. He had the pain of the hatred of men and devils against him. And all that men could do to him, scourging him and mocking him and all the rest of it, they did. All that the devils could do to him, they did. But far worse than the physical pain, and the mental pain was the spiritual pain. That was the great pain for Christ. The pain of being made sin. For somebody who was so pure and hated sin. And then the pain of having to endure the punishment of God for sin. He took our sins upon himself, and he hated every one of them. And how many millions and billions of sins were involved in that? He took our punishment, so that in the end he was crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The God-forsakenness of hell. There was darkness, physical darkness, around the cross. Mental darkness, depression. Spiritual darkness, the worst darkness of all. He cried out, I thirst. Physical thirst, but far worse than that, spiritual thirst. Thirsting for God. There he was on the cross, God forsaken. There he was on the cross, and the fire and brimstone of heaven poured down upon him. The prospect of it terrified him. You remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before. Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He prayed it earnestly 3 times. He had thrown himself down on his face on the ground. He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Our sins and our punishments laid upon him. The worst death anybody ever died was the death of Christ. But you remember how he cried out, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit." And the moment he died, his sufferings were over. The moment he died, his soul went to heaven. His body was laid in a tomb. And there was no more suffering for him. And on the third day, his soul returned and entered into the body. And so he rose out of the grave, body and soul. He ascended up to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. He's there interceding for us. And he's coming to judge the world at the last day. So there we have the death of Christ, a death under the wrath and curse of God. Finally, the death of a Christian. Some Christians have a more painful death than others. But however painful our death is, we have Christ with us. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." He's there hearing our prayers. He assures us that all things work together for good. He will not suffer us to be tempted and tried above what we are able, but will also with a temptation make a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. We need to die. Death is the result of sin. You're a sinner and so am I, so we're all dying. But the sting is gone from death. O death, where is thy sting? Christ took the sting out of death. He sucked, as it were, the poison out of the snake. O grave, where is thy victory? The grave will only have a temporary victory over the Christian, because the Christian will rise again. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But Jesus kept the law, and Jesus endured the sting of death. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the sting fully for us. And the grave will have no victory over us. Our sin is pardoned. And therefore our death will be a blessed death. The law cannot condemn us. We have been justified. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. We can't be condemned. And so how is death, the death of the Christian, described in the New Testament? It's described as sleeping in Jesus. Remember Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Remember how he was stoned to death. And his last words were a prayer. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And having said that, he fell asleep. Asleep! That's what death is. What's more gentle than falling asleep? Think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those that sleep in Jesus shall the Lord bring with him. The Christian's death is sleeping. Falling asleep to this world. And the body is laid in the grave to sleep there till the resurrection. And the soul doesn't sleep. The soul goes to heaven. To be with Christ. Souls of believers are at their death, made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory. Immediately going to heaven to be with Christ. Never again to suffer. No more pain, no more aches, no more weariness, no more depression, no more darkness, no more despair, no more fear, no more temptation, no more death, no more bereavement. All that is gone. Heaven. Heaven is a place of life. Of joy, of peace, of happiness. Heaven is to be with Christ, as it were, married to Christ forever. To dwell with him, as Paul put it, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know what to do. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. And yet I know that you still need me down here. You Philippians, you Christians still need my help. But I'm looking forward to going, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Remember how he puts it at the very end of his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm waiting, as it were, not just in the departure lounge, but on the plane, waiting for the signal to be given at the end of the runway, just about to go. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm on the ship. The ropes are being thrown off. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He looks back with thankfulness. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing. A wonderful future. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the end of the Christian then. Not death, but falling asleep in Jesus. Death is swallowed up in victory. Have you got victory over death? Can you look at death without fear? Because you know your Savior. He's come to dwell in your heart. He is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore you know that you have a great future. Death is an awful reality in this world. But for the Christian, no. It's going to a better place. Sleeping in Jesus. And those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him to dwell with him forever. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be able to to look at the future, even as perhaps we're told that we haven't got very long to go. But what does it matter if we're going to a better place? And if the future is better, we need not be frightened about it. We need not worry about it. And when we think of our loved ones who have gone to be with Christ, why are we mourning and grieving? Not for them. Yes, we miss them. We mourn for ourselves because we feel the loss, but we don't mourn for them. We're happy for them because we know they're at peace, at rest, in joy, with Christ, which is far better. Death swallowed up in victory. That's what Christ does for us. That's why Jesus came into this world. And that's why he died on the cross. So that you and I would have victory over sin and Satan and death and the grave.